Hello and welcome to Burn Court, the court of moral victories.
We are bridging the gap between no recourse and legal recourse. We review and analyze listener-submitted disputes and decide a winner. I am your host, Nate. We recently released our introduction episode, and while we are preparing the first listener-submitted episodes, which will be the standard archetype of the show, we thought it might be helpful to have a few demo episodes so you get an idea of how we'll analyze your dispute. So, here is the first demo episode for you. This one is about neighbors and overhanging tree branches. Here are our parties. Neighbor A, let's call him Chad. He's the tree owner. Versus neighbor B, let's call her Karen. She's the driveway owner. Let's recap the facts here. Chad, the tree owner, has a mature oak that extends branches over Karen's driveway, shedding debris and acorns. Karen, in pure self-righteous Karen fashion, demands trimming. Chad scoffs and refuses, citing a healthy tree and property rights. So now we're going to go through each of our six lenses and discuss this situation from various perspectives. First, we're going to take a look at this through a legal lens using Vermont law. Vermont follows the general rule. A neighbor may self-help trim encroaching branches and roots to the property line so long as they do not injure the tree. Absent hazard or negligence, natural litter, leaves, and acorns usually isn't a legal nuisance. Though maybe in some parts of the world, excessive sap falling might be. If the tree is diseased or dangerous, and Chad knew or should have known, liability could arise on his behalf. The best practice here legally would be to hire a certified arborist and split the costs for boundary line trimming and document all the conditions. Now we're going to look at it from a historical perspective. From Roman law to New England towns, tree boundaries tested property lines. Urbanization normalized the right to cut intrusions at the line while protecting trees as shared environmental goods. Though going back further, the Roman 12 tables, written between 451 and 450 BC, outlined specific rules for dealing with property boundaries and trees on neighboring land. These rules provided the foundation for Roman civil procedure on land disputes, which much of the world still kind of uses in one way or another today. Rome 12 tables encouraged a buffer zone in between the properties and also in between buildings. We still have very similar codes today. If a dispute arose between these boundaries, what's called a praetor, which was like a Roman magistrate or a judge, would appoint a three-party arbitration panel to review the case. They'd make the final decision based on the report. When it comes to tree issues, the Roman 12 tables specifically had a couple provisions for this. Table 7, section 9A, branches of a tree may be lopped off all around to a height of more than 15 feet. And I assume that gives either party the ability to trim that tree if those branches are hanging over the property line. Under 9B, should a tree on a neighbor's farm be bent crooked by the wind and lean over your farm, you may take legal action for removal of that tree. So if we bring that to our present situation between Chad and Karen, if that storm pushed Chad's tree branch over Karen's driveway, that would create the situation where Karen could actually take legal action against Chad to have it removed. Although that's back in the Roman days, we would probably follow Vermont law, and we already discussed that likely Karen would be able to do that on her own without Chad's permission. And kind of ancillary to this topic, there is always this side question of whether, let's say, Chad's tree was an apple tree and the apples were falling on Karen's lawn, is Chad allowed to go pick them up, or do they belong to Karen? I haven't looked into what the law would be in this particular question, but the Roman 12 tables does include that, and it says A man might gather up fruit that was falling down onto another man's farm. So Chad would be able to go collect the apples that had fallen onto Karen's lawn. I wonder what kind of trespass issues that would create, which I'm sure typical Karen would call in. From a literary perspective, I was only able to find two decent literary references. The first, and perhaps most obvious, is Robert Frost's Mending Wall, written in 1914, a New England poem where we get the expression, "Good fences make good neighbor." It asks whether boundaries are wisdom or habit. To me, this poem is about building relationships as much as it is about building a wall. Respecting boundaries and sharing in the burden of keeping property boundaries posted go a long way in building relationships with our neighbors. The second is less relatable to our situation, and it's Shel Silverstein's The Giving Tree from 1964. It romanticizes giving, but neighbor disputes remind us generosity without appreciation breeds resentment. Though not conclusive here, the literature nudges us toward a key component of the answer. To be respectful of your neighbor and their property rights, and in this case, it goes both ways. Under our philosophical lens, Immanuel Kant, an 18th century German philosopher, in what is referred to as the formula of humanity, says, "So act that you treat humanity, whether in your own person or in the person of any other, always at the same time as an end, never merely as a means." This simply means respect others as an end. Trim only what is necessary in our case. And to add to this, John Stuart Mill's harm principle is a tenet of liberalism, stating that an individual's freedom of action should only be limited to prevent harm to others. This principle, articulated in his 1859 essay On Liberty, asserts that the only legitimate reason for a civilized society to interfere with an individual's liberty is to prevent harm to another person. Karen may abate harm that crosses the line, but must avoid excessive damage. Aristotle says virtue aims at the mean. A virtue is a desirable middle ground between two vices, one of excess and one of deficiency. In our case, overreach would be cutting the whole tree down, and deficiency would be Karen doing nothing. So finding a middle ground is where Aristotle would point. I think that supports her right to be able to trim what is necessary to protect her driveway. Collectively, these support trimming only the dangerous portion that is encroaching on the driveway. Leave the rest of the tree unharmed. Going down our list of lenses, Christianity would say, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's not incredibly helpful, but that's from Romans 12:18. Judaism in the Baal Tashkit forbids needless destruction, supporting, again, limited trimming on Karen's behalf. Islam would say avoid harm and reciprocate with what is just. Excess is forbidden. Again, Karen couldn't go in and cut the whole tree down, but this seems like it would allow her to cut the dangerous branch. Hinduism would counsel minimal intrusion. Again, not cutting the whole tree down, but allowing Karen to cut down the part that's overhanging on her driveway. I won't add this commentary to each show, but within the religion lens, we include Confucianism and Taoism, even though many would argue they aren't technically religions because they do not include the worship of a deity figure. So here we are under Confucianism. This would say, seek compromise that preserves the relationship. Now, with a Chad and a Karen, who knows what kind of relationship preservation they'll have. Seems like they might find anything to complain about. Taoism would say, follow the natural course, gentle pruning, not forceful hacking. So collectively, again, I think these religious statements would support the idea that Karen should be allowed to trim the tree branch overhanging her driveway. Now, our last category is social norms. U.S. norms accept trimming to the line with notice and a professional. Cost sharing and neighborly communication are the default social expectation. It's also noteworthy to add here that within property laws, your boundary isn't limited to the land itself. There is a barrier that extends vertically as if an invisible wall from the edge of your boundary up into the sky. I think it's probably limited for air travel and, you know, other purposes like that. But it would certainly go up, I think, high enough to be able to trim these tree branches up. Like the Roman 12 tables suggested you could cut up to 15 feet. I think nowadays you could probably cut up much more. And considering a lot of the trees in the area, old white pines might grow to be 100 feet. The largest tree in the world, I think, is 460 feet. I don't know if you'd be able to cut that high. On to the summary in our moral claim judgment. Karen holds the stronger moral claim to trim encroachments on her side, provided she does so prudently and respectfully. She cannot otherwise compel Chad to preemptively cut a healthy tree. There it is, folks. The decision in this case, Karen holds the stronger moral claim, and she is our moral victor. Like I said, this was our first demo session, just an episode to get out there so you're familiar with what the process will look like and how your disputes will be evaluated. We're looking forward to getting our first listener-submitted disputes out real soon. Thank you to all of you who have already submitted some disputes. That is encouraging to see. Thank you. We'll put out several more demo episodes after this one, but in the future, these will get a little more exciting as we include other co-hosts, interviews with claimants and respondents, and various experts like doctors, professors, and lawyers, and maybe subject matter experts from various industries when they're implicated in a claim. The subject matter will likely be more spirited and confrontational in true Judge Judy and Jerry Springer style. But for now, these are simply demo episodes, so you have an idea of how we'll cover your dispute. Fair and balanced, and from an informed perspective that relies on a diverse range of perspectives, i.e. our 6 and sometimes 7 lenses. No one lens will have a dominant influence on our decisions, as we know there will often be conflict between them. For example, conflicts between science and religion, or law and philosophy. But by looking at all of them comprehensively, we think we can get closer to a moral verdict than any one lens can. We know there is a lot of issues that people are passionate about. We know there is a lot of misinformation floating around. And we know some people have differing levels of willingness to accept certain sources or scientific conclusions. So this is why we like to incorporate all of these different perspectives and multiple perspectives from within each lens to arrive at a conclusion. And thanks for listening. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, listen to us on iTunes and Spotify, and on the website where you can also vote on who you think is the moral victor. Justice may be subjective, but the burn is absolute.